The Burt Show.
Jeff mentioned something yesterday, and I couldn't get to it because we just ran out of time, that I thought was pretty funny because I think, generally, old people are funny. And Jeff was talking about Jessica's mom,
yeah,
his mother-in-law, and kind of this idiosyncrasy, this eccentric side to her. I think all old people have some things they do that don't make sense to younger people, but they make total sense to themselves, and it's just so out of the realm of possibility that it just seems so eccentric.
I know my aunt who, she's older. She's the 60s, maybe early 70s, and like she used to have a thing. I remember she would heckle my grandmother if my grandmother did not finish an entire can of soda. Like, that was my aunt's thing. You don't wait, because once you open a can of soda, it'll go flat.
Right.
If you put it in the fridge.
Right.
So, but my grandmother, I mean, she's, 92 years old. And, when you get that old, your meals become, a slice of bread with peanut butter on it. And that's it. And that's all you eat for the entire day.
And you have to put that in a blender.
Right. I just remember being over at my grandmother's house once. And, she opened a can of whatever it was. And poured half into a glass and drank it, and my aunt's like, "Were you going to finish the can?" And she goes, "No," and that was her thing. Jessica's mom, I found this out when we were there, because she lives alone and doesn't like to, these are her words, waste electricity, that 20 minutes before you take a shower, you have to turn on the hot water heater.
And my question is, doesn't it take, as much energy to heat it up every single time you're going to take a shower as it does just to leave it on?
Well, she's 60-something years old. I'm not going to argue with her.
Right.
But it screwed me every night because I would forget that you had to do it. And I didn't get it for the first couple nights. Like, the first night it happened, I thought somebody had just gotten out of the shower. You know how if you take, two showers back-to-back, the second person might run out of water? So I thought maybe. And then, the second night, I think Jessica said, "Oh, I'm going to get in the shower." And her mom said, "I'll go turn the water on for you." And then went, I don't even know if there's a switch.
Now, you can't say anything because it's your mother-in-law and you want to be respectful. But Jessica, you can.
Yeah, how can you
can say something to your mom about, "Mom, just turn it on."
Well, it's not that it's a conservation thing. It's the house. That house is 100 years old. It's one of the original houses in Hawaii. And so the way that the hot water is set up, you have to turn it on. You just can't keep it on all the time.
No, she told me.
What?
She said, "I like to save electricity." She goes, "The only thing I use hot water for is to take a shower. So I only turn it on when I take a shower."
I think a lot of these eccentric type things come from our parents growing up in the Depression, or our grandparents growing up in the Depression, and they had to save and save and save, and they just never got out of that whole habit.
You know how old people start to get up earlier and earlier? Jessica's mom is up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, but the sun doesn't rise until 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets up. She gets up, makes her tea or whatever, heats it up in the microwave, goes and gets the paper, and then comes back and sits in the dark house until the sun gets up enough so she can read the paper.
Boy, that's eccentric.
Yeah, she has her moments. and you know what? I swear, everybody back in Hawaii, too, they grew up, I think, so a little bit more primitive, but back in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And they do things they eat everything on their plate. And if you don't, yeah, they almost see that as a sign of disrespect. Things that I can't do. I don't like to suck on chicken bones or stuff like that, and they'll eat every last bit. And if you don't eat the last bite, they'll be like, "Are you going to finish that piece of spam?" And I'm "No, I hate spam." And they're like, "Oh, well, I gave it to you." And it's you feel obligated.
I had a buddy whose grandfather wouldn't travel on Tuesdays. And I forget what had happened to, maybe he knew somebody that was in a plane crash on a Tuesday and it just stuck with him. And he just would not. He couldn't budge from that. He would not fly on Tuesdays. Hey, Julie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I have the craziest landlord. She will come in and turn the light off in my living room. The one light you leave on so when you come home you can see when you walk in.
Right.
Oh, no.
And she will turn it off. And she turns the heat off and will not turn it on until everybody is at home at night. And so that it's 50 degrees at 3 o'clock in the morning.
How old is this landlord?
Oh, she's only 40.
Oh, really? See, I was going to say if it was 70, I can understand it, but at 40.
She's a cheapo.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's more of an older person thing than it is. She's just being cheap, but I think old people, for some reason, older people just get stuck in their ways, and they just have a way of, there's just a routine.
I think it was a depression thing. I really do. And
Jessica's dad washed their car every Saturday, at 7 in the morning, wasn't it? Every Saturday, that's what he did. Even if it wasn't dirty, they had two cars. And one, he didn't drive often because her mom doesn't drive. So even if he didn't drive the car and only drove the pickup truck, the car would still get washed every Saturday morning.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I've got the funniest story. Back when my grandmother was still alive, we would go out to Fayetteville, where I used to live, and we would come to red lights, and my grandmother thought she was saving gas by turning the car off when the light turned red. And by the time the light finally turned green, she cranked the car back up, and the light would be red again. It was hilarious.
Every red light she would turn it off at?
Every single red light that we came to, she would turn it. It was so humiliating. I would, like, duck down in the seat, and I was, like, 10 years old.
It would take you forever to get anywhere.
I know. It was hilarious.
My grandpa, he lived an hour north of us, and we would go up, like, once a month to see him. And we'd all get in the family car and drive up. And then at some point, he would take my dad and I. We were obligated to do it. My dad was obviously his son-in-law. We would get in the car, and we would take the same tour of the same town that we took. And he would take us down. He lived in a town called Oswego, which was right on the Oswego River, which is a big shipping port for upstate New York. So we would go down to the port, and we would see what ships are in, and then we would hear about what ships have been in the past week. And then we would go, and we'd drive, and there's this restaurant called Rudy's, and we would drive out past there. We'd drive through the college campus. Same tour every month from when I can remember until I was old enough to not have to go with my parents every time, probably 13 or 14. But until he got sick, you know, obviously his older years, but until he got sick, every time we'd go up there, the same tour of the same city.
I had crazy baby food jar grandmother.
You see a lot of this, yeah.
She was insane, though, because she had a bag. See the size of Jessica's handbag right there? Increase that by tenfold. It was like the size of a suitcase she would take to Shoney's or whatever buffet she wanted to attack. Take out the empty baby food jars and fill up them with the buffet items and take home an entire suitcase full of baby food jars.
That's
full of
food. Depression right there. That's from living in the depression.
She would steal the condiments. You could sit at a table that had salt, pepper, sugar, sweet and low.
By the
end of the meal, gone.
Yeah. How many of your grandparents used to keep like the money underneath the mattress because they didn't trust banks anymore?
Hide the money.
Grandfather, when he passed away, they were cleaning up his house, you know, helping my grandmother go through his stuff, and they found money all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, they found, like, $1,000 and $5 bills, like, in one drawer.
Stacey's aunt was like that, too, when she passed away.
$1,500 in another cabinet, all in, like, ones, just random little wads of money all over the place.
And they'll save the little bits of soap, too. Like, you know how you get down to the end of the bar of soap, and we just end up throwing it away? They would save them all, and then put them all back together to form, like, one
bar
of soap. Damn. Yeah, that's a depression. Thing too.
My grandmother was also notorious for keeping all her cigarette butts in the ashtray. Like, she wouldn't empty them for a week, and she would go into the ashtray and just grab one that she may have thought had an extra puff to it, relight it, and take another puff of cigarette.
That's
off
hardcore,
of it.
Man. Yeah. Hey, Vicky.
Hello.
Good morning.
My grandmother, God rest her soul, she died last year, but she was 88, and she grew up in the Depression, could not read, could not write. But my cousin lived with her the last couple of months before she passed away, and every time my cousin would eat yogurt, we found out after my grandmother had died that my grandmother would dig them out of the garbage and wash out the yogurt cups and save them. She had like 50 yogurt cups. She had 2 boxes of rubber bands. She had 40 nail clippers and like cuticle cutters in this box. She saved everything. She had 10 jars of vitamin E cream.
Damn, man.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, she grew up in the Depression. She couldn't read, she couldn't write, but she had her own code. She could call everybody. But she was the smartest woman I knew because she was thrifty, but she saved everything. She had clothes, literally clothes, my mom said, that when she was growing up, she still had the same clothes.
She was wise. Maybe not book smart, but very wise.
It's like everybody turns into Rain Man at the age of 65.
Going on the same thing that Crash was saying about finding money in the house. When my grandfather passed away a year ago, when we went through the house, you know, he's been living in this house for a good 50 years, found cash all over the place.
Yeah,
found those country crock butter spreads, those tubs. There must have been 200 of those. He would save them, put green beans in them. In our garage, we have a freezer. There must be, I kid you not, no less than 300 or 400 little Ziploc bags of kidney beans dating back from the mid-'80s.
They can't let anything go, man.
Old people will freeze anything.
Yeah.
they will freeze anything. They can find a half-eaten slice of pizza on the street, and it will go in the freezer.
It's so true.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes, hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. This isn't really a savings thing. I don't really know where it came from with my grandmother, but anytime we were getting ready to have a storm, she would have all the grandchildren go around and unplug everything electrical in the house.
Yeah.
And then we had to sit around and stare at each other while the storm was going on because we didn't have anything to keep us occupied
It's also like, I hear some thunder in the distance. We better get off the phone.
Yeah, because you're going to get shocked if you're on the phone.
Right.
Yeah, now, here's one because I think this is just going to be my parents being weird because, you know, you don't want to think of your own parents getting old. But Jessica and I went to visit several years ago, and for some reason, in the backseat of my car, you ever see those boxing nuns?
Yeah.
Like it's like a puppet and these little things.
Yeah,
nun boxes.
Yeah.
There's one in the backseat of my car. I don't know how it ended up there. Somebody gave it to me as a joke or something. But we were goofing around with it, and it broke, and I threw it out. So the next year, we go visit my parents, and we're sitting around on their patio, and I glance over to the garden. And on a stake in the garden is the broken boxing nun.
They saved it. It's easier to recognize in your in-laws than it is in your own parents.
Because you don't want to see it.
Well, in your own parents, you think it's normal because you grew up with it.
Right.
And it's so normal. But when you get married and you see your in-laws, you're like, okay, that is some bizarre behavior.
Sister, there's nothing normal about digging a busted up puppet out of the garbage and hanging it on a stick in your garden. I don't care. In-laws, parents, that was weird.
And when did like coffee cans become the universal holding device of every item in your grandparents' house?
I don't
house?
Know if my parents still do this, but whenever they cooked bacon, they would pour the grease into a coffee can.
And they save it.
And I don't know what it ever got used for.
What do they do with it?
No, I save it all the time. You use it for cooking. It's great for it's great for seasoning and flavoring other foods.
Nasty.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think my parents ever used it. I just know that in my nasty old refrigerator on the bottom shelf was a coffee can, a Maxwell House coffee can with a plastic lid, and it was 2/3 filled with bacon grease. Nasty.
The Burt Show.
Hey, Monica, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
A little miffed?
I'm just wondering how we can fix this whole situation I got going on.
So, Monica, when did this happen and what happened on the date?
Well, it happened, we went out probably a few weeks ago, even, my friend had set us up. It'd been kind of like this long thing, trying to get the two of us together for a while. And we finally, like, you know, threw the details in and got together and got on the phone. And he actually came and picked me up at my place, which was really, really, really nice because I feel like, you know, nowadays at least things are so informal. So he came and picked me up. I live in Roswell, so he came and picked me up in Roswell. And we went out to dinner at this little Italian place called Ippolita's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was nice. You know, everything was cool. Like, we got along great. We had, like, great conversation and stuff like that. Dinner was awesome. And then afterwards, we went and met up our friends, actually, at the Soul Comedy Club. And that was even more fun because it was almost like we were on this little double date, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, hanging out. And Kyle was, even the whole time, he was, like, winking at me and stuff because, you know, Mark was being so cute. He had his arm around me. And, like, you know, he even been holding my hand at one point. So it just kind of seemed like this instantaneous, like, click. Like, we just clicked and, like, got along really great. And
what did your friends think of him?
Oh, Kyle thought he was awesome. He was, like, you know, obviously he thought that we had a lot of chemistry going on. Because it seemed that way. Like I said, he had his arm around me. We were like, it was cute. It was so cute. And we had a lot of fun. And so afterwards, we had a few drinks there and stuff. But afterwards, we all went back to my place because it's pretty close by and stuff. So we hung out there and, you know, watched a movie and, like, had a few drinks and stuff like that. And it was really cute. Like I said, it was like double date. Seemed very natural. It was awesome. And then, you know, Cal and Jenny went home eventually, so I didn't think it was appropriate that he would drive home. He lives about midtown, so it kind of seemed like, you know, it wouldn't be right if he drank and stuff. So he crashed at my place,
okay,
which was totally fine. He was a perfect gentleman about it. He actually slept on the couch
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. You know, it wasn't even like that. It was perfect. He was a gentleman and slept on the couch, and you know, I gave him some blankets and stuff, and you know, we kissed and stuff. It was really nice.
Define and stuff.
It was we kissed. We kissed a lot. It was nice.
Right.
It was,
did that involve
a milkshake?
Yeah.
Everything was nice. It was perfect.
Okay. But I think the point...
He wants to know if all the kisses were on the lips.
I think what Jeff is trying to establish here is if it was really just very right, kind of innocent.
Did you touch the parts that got Michael Jackson in trouble?
It was involved.
But did you touch the parts that got Michael Jackson in trouble? You know what I mean?
No.
Okay. All right. So it's very innocent stuff, just kissing on the mouth, and then you go to sleep, he crashes on the couch.
Yes.
Okay, in the morning, when the both of you wake up, is it that awkwardness, or did you guys go to breakfast and take off, or?
No, actually, I made breakfast for the two of us.
Cool. All right.
And we hung out at my place, and you kind of watched some TV on the couch and had breakfast together, and it was really nice. We kissed again in the morning, but like I kind of thought it seemed a little off, but I think it was because we'd both woken up and kind of had morning breath and stuff. So I don't know if I was holding back or if like, he was kind of holding back, but it was definitely a little different in the morning. So.
Okay. Was his attitude any different?
Oh, no, not at all. Like you said, we were just, it was cute. We were on the couch, like, watching TV and having breakfast, and it was awesome. I mean, when we parted, you know, he was... completely receptive to hanging out again and talking more, and you know. All right.
You say, first of all, how late did he stay? When you say he's completely receptive, was it something you brought up, or was it something he brought up?
Oh, it was something he brought up. He said, you know, like, oh, we'll talk soon. I'll talk to you soon. We'll get together. And I mean, he didn't stay that late. It was probably like 11:30 or 12, something around noonish.
Okay.
All right. And when he finally takes off, how does the whole thing end? Is there a kiss? Is there a hug? Is there a I'll call you?
There was a kiss, and I'll call you.
Okay. It all sounds
I can't figure out why he wouldn't want to go on a second one.
I think it's obvious.
No, and then,
so you know what I say, Jenna? Yeah. Guys are kind of like an iceberg. What you get to see is about 10% from the water up, and underneath there's a lot more stuff going on. Well, it all sounds pretty, I mean, legit.
You know? You're so profound, Bert. I love that about you.
Can nobody else see it?
What?
You want to make your prediction first, then I'll tell you what's really happening?
I think he's got another girlfriend.
Anybody else?
Oh, really?
I think he's married and gay.
What?
Yep. He's married?
Where did you come up with that?
How did you set me up with him? Like, why would...
I was thinking that you might have been a really bad cook, and after breakfast, he was like, oh, can't date her, she can't cook.
Guys don't care about that if they're sleeping in their house the first night.
I can't even fathom what it would be, but...
One of your friends set you up, though, so we know he's not married, right?
Well, that's the thing is because, like, he's somebody my friend hooked me up with.
Yeah, so that...
I don't think he could be married or have a girlfriend because Kyle had told me already. Like, I've known Kyle for years. Those are things I would
Jeff
know.
Just throws that out. I think my argument was the fact that things didn't happen between the two of you that evening, and I think he's just taken off.
Well, I could tell you that if on a first date, if a guy gets on the couch and spends the night there, then he's thinking... I could probably do this, you know, and the next time or the time after that.
So he would give it another shot.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that...
Well, we could speculate all we want, or we can call this guy, try to get him on and find out exactly what happened.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out here.
All right, Monica, what you have to do for us, though, if we get this guy on the phone here, and Jeff and producer Tracy will try to strong-arm him to come on, you have to assure him that you'd rather this thing be over than have it open-ended the way it is right now. Like, you want closure, and you want total honesty, right? Because most guys, it's going to be, they don't want to say why they haven't called, but you have to assure them that it'll be all right.
Okay, well, I want to know, so I'd rather have the closure, so it won't be a problem.
And we're calling him now. Now he knows he's coming on?
Kind of.
What do you mean, kind of?
Jeff was just trying to beat you to the dialing so that you wouldn't screw it up.
Screw it up, yeah. Please, no dialing.
Well, what, do I need to tell this guy he's on the radio? Does he know he's coming on the radio? Or?
It'll work itself out.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mark?
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. This is Bert and Jeff and Jen and Melissa, and we're on the radio right now on a radio station called All the Hits Q100.
Okay.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
I'm well. What's this about?
We have Monica on with us also.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Monica. You want to say hi to Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Monica. What's going on?
Stuff. I haven't actually talked to you in a while.
Yeah.
Mark, here's the reason why we're calling, Mark, is Monica said that she had a really, really great time with you guys on your date a couple of weeks ago.
Right, right.
And she really thought that there was going to be a second date. I mean, you crashed over at her place. You know, everything was pretty innocent. You woke up the next day. She made breakfast for you. When you took off, you said, you know what, I can't wait to do this again or whatever. And there hasn't been an again. So she's wondering what happened. And Monica, maybe this is the good, this is the part here where you tell him that you're looking for total honesty.
Oh yeah, closure is really why I'm on the phone with this whole deal, because I'd rather just know what it was and move on than like wonder why we had such an awesome date and everything seemingly went great and I just didn't hear from you.
Yeah, well,
neat, huh?
I mean, to be honest, yeah, it was a great first date, Monica. You know, you're a really great girl. To be honest, I don't know why you chose to do this over the radio. I just woke up. I don't feel real comfortable talking about this over the air.
Well, she said that she's been trying to kind of call you and figure out why there hasn't been a second date, but conveniently, like, she'll tell you she's going to be in a meeting till 9:30 and you're leaving voicemail messages for her at 9:15, or you leave her a message at home when you know she's at work, so she kind of felt like there was no other way to do it.
Is that just, I mean, are you doing that intentionally, or is that just a little quinky?
No, no, it's just like, mm-hmm. I call her back when I can, you know?
But you haven't called, really, I mean, and spoken to her in two weeks. And if the date went as great as Monica said, that I know when I was single, if it went great, I'd have figured out a way to talk to the girl that I was really interested in.
And Mark, again, we're asking for total honesty. I know that we've kind of caught you off guard. You might be a little uncomfortable, but like Monica said, she just wants closure. So you feel, you know.
There's no pressure on you.
There's
man.
No reason to feel uncomfortable giving us total honesty.
Right, Monica?
Yeah, I just want to know what the deal is and move on. I mean, I just would rather know than.
All right, I mean,
total honesty is what she's looking for.
is it accurate to assume that there was one particular thing that caused?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I mean, if you want honesty, yes. I'll give it to you. Okay. I mean, Monica, all due respect, you are a great girl. It was a good first date. There was one thing. You know, the next morning, you know, we woke up, we were hanging out, watched TV, whatnot. And, you know, when I was kind of getting ready to leave, we were cleaning up, you know, folding up the sheets from the couch and whatnot. And I can't believe it. All right, total honesty. Total honesty.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She picked up her copy of Glamour that was on the coffee table. Uh-huh. And she walked into the bathroom and didn't emerge for about 15 minutes, I'd say.
Okay.
She took a magazine into the pooper.
Yeah. Now, call me old-fashioned, but...
I'm right there with
just,
you.
This is just... That's just nasty. That's
Are you
just
serious?
Nasty.
You haven't called this girl back because she reads when she's in the bathroom?
Yeah.
I say good for
Listen,
you.
If I, yeah, thank
Don't
you.
Don't poop in Listen. Front of your first date.
Listen,
what's
she
supposed
seriously?
To do?
Okay.
She's supposed to hang tight. He was just about to leave.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe
Everything
she was hanging.
Was going great. And, like,
it.
The chemistry seemed to be there. But I'm sorry. That just, Monica, that just killed it. Because girls, you know, should be discreet about that. You know, that guys, that's one thing. But girls reading for 15 minutes on the crapper.
Come on.
I'm sorry. That's total
It wasn't
honesty.
15 minutes.
I swear to God, it was 15 minutes.
I tell you what, a woman in the restroom needs to be like Chili's. Get in, get out, get on with your life.
That's what well, I feel. I'm sorry, call me old-fashioned, call me shallow, but that's just nasty. It turned me off, and I didn't know how to say it to her. I'm sorry, Monica. What can I say?
See, I mean, I'm more on Jen's camp than the guys because, I mean, you can't be double standard even when it comes to those things. But I do agree with Jen. If he, I mean, you hold those things off until you know somebody.
I mean, if I were going on a date with Mark and he went into my bathroom and did that, I'd be like, ew, you're out of here. We're done. I mean, I think either way in front of somebody you're first starting to date. I mean, I don't think it has to be a guy-girl thing.
Exactly. I'm wondering, hey,
but if you gotta
Mark, you gotta go. Mark, was it more that she did that or she took the magazine and she took the magazine in?
I mean, it's a little of both, but it's definitely the magazine put it over the top. Because, like, that's just...
Well, if she didn't take the magazine, she could have been plucking or peeling or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. She could have just been primping or preening, but
Or pretend like you're taking a shower, turn on the shower, whatever. Like, just don't make it obviously that you're going number two.
I mean, yeah, it was real, and it was like right before I left. I mean, so I'm sitting there basically with my coat on, and she's in the grabber. I'm sorry, Monica. You wanted honesty. I'm sorry,
Monica. You've been awfully quiet.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I think we've learned not to get the sausage at Ippolito's, haven't we?
Stop.
No.
Come on now.
Yeah, thanks for helping out, guys.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Monica.
No, it's okay. I asked for honesty, and I got it.
Coffee does that.
I mean, it works for Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey because they're married. She can drop the kids off at the pool, and nobody will really say anything about it.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
I think the lesson we can all take from this is if, I mean, Monica's going to meet another guy and there's going to be another date. And
come on now. She's already embarrassed. Don't
I'm
do
not going to embarrass
yes,
her.
You
yes, you
Monica,
are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Mark will let you go. Monica will let you go. I'm sorry.
All right, guys. Okay, thanks for helping out.
All right.
I just think it's if you date a girl named Monica in Roswell, I would stay away from Indian
food.
Stop now.
But
I don't even like the fact that my wife does that. I don't like the fact that God made that a part of a woman's life. No, not, think, it's not even guys, it's not the magazine part.
That's just guys having to deal with the fact that it happens. But on a first date, you don't make a dramatic scene where you grab a magazine off the coffee table and walk to the bathroom.
You're not one of the guys, no. And you know what?
I don't even think guys should do that on the first.
Yeah.
Guys are.
I don't want to think about you pooping. Ew. I don't want to think about anybody.
Pooping.
Morning, all the hits, Q100.
Poop.
Good morning.
Hi.
Well, everyone does it.
Oh, come on.
Not with a book.
On a first date.
But if you're out drinking the night before, sometimes you get the craps in the morning.
Now, wait a second. If your first date is sitting on the couch with his coat on, you can wait 5 minutes to say goodbye and then unleash the demons anytime you want to.
That's what I called before you do a deuce.
But I mean, if there's in her defense, if she had to go and the debate was either go now and get it out of your system or risk getting a hug. And then sharding.
Oh, come on now.
Just jump off the jump off the plank.
If Stacey and I are on vacation and we're like staying in a bungalow or something, and these are really small.
You said
bungalow. I will make her go outside onto the patio and read a book while I'm in there. It's that.
I thought you were sending her out there to do the deuce.
Yeah. go dig yourself a hole like a cat. I get the bathroom. You get the beach.
And make sure you kick sand over it so I don't step in it again.
And be sure to lick yourself good before you come in the house.
You gotta admit, people, poop is funny.
If he's on his way out the door, I'd be rushing like, okay, but hard to get out the door, lock it, and then do your business.
Right.
I'm not gonna make somebody sit there and know what I'm
doing. Because you know then when you're halfway through it, you're gonna get a, I forgot my gloves.
And you're in there and, your nose into a glamour. And that's another thing.
Women
shouldn't be reading in the bathroom.
Oh, shut up.
Shut up.
No. Shut up.
That is a dad thing to do. No, women should not be reading in the bathroom.
That's just being stupid, boy.
That is wrong.
You might as well smoke a cigar and eat beans right out of the can while you're in there.
Ew. Stupid boy. Is that what you do?
Yeah, doesn't everybody?
Hi, Lynn. You're on all the hits, Q100.
Yes, I sit on the toilet and take a dump, and my boyfriend sits right in front of me and plays his guitar, and it's nothing.
That is about the grossest thing I've ever heard in my friggin' life.
That's a great visual. Does he incorporate the sounds of the dump taking into the song he's playing on the guitar?
I don't know which is worse, the fact that she goes to the bathroom in front of her boyfriend or he's playing the guitar in the bathroom.
Right. this next song I'd like to entitle Do a Deuce.
And he doesn't get disturbed by the smell of it?
No, I'm going to tell you guys something.
Yeah, Ryan has to, Jen's husband has to go to Gainesville to write songs, and your boyfriend is writing right there while you're doing a deuce.
I'm so creeped out right now.
Yeah, so does anybody have a magazine? I got to go.
Get out of here. You're not one of them, aren't you? I bet you are. Reading like comic books or stuff like that.
Star Trek 2004.
Hey, The Bird Show.